This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast. I'm your host, JT. Great to have you as we get ready for the Raiders' upcoming game this Sunday, October 12th, as the San Diego Chargers come to O.co Coliseum. A lot's changed since we last talked to you in London when Hall of Famer Howie Long joined us from the Raiders' practice facility. Obviously, after the Raiders lost the game to Miami at Wembley by a score of 38-14, Reggie McKenzie and owner Mark Davis relieved Dennis Allen of his head coaching duties, elevated Tony Sperano, the offensive line coach, to the position of head coach of the Silver and Black. Before we get going with this week's podcast, I wanted to make a couple of comments about Dennis Allen. I wish Dennis Allen and his family nothing but the best. He put his heart and soul into his job with his family and wanted to win desperately. I think it was obvious to everyone if the Raiders started off slow, let alone started off 0-4, his job would be on the line. But Dennis Allen cared about the Silver and Black, cared about the Raider Nation, tried hard to win, and this is a business. And flat out, it did not work out. So Tony Sperano gets this opportunity. He was a head coach with the Miami Dolphins. He brings a tremendous amount of experience to this position as head coach of the Raiders, and he has a lot to gain. I think it's important to say this, as rumors have been circulating for the last week and a half. What are the long-term visions of Reggie McKenzie, Mark Davis? Who will be the head coach of the Raiders long-term? The head coach right now is Tony Sperano, and he relishes this opportunity. The goal of every interim coach is to do a good job, to win more games than expected, and have an opportunity to get a contract extension and be the head coach next year. And Tony Sperano has that opportunity now. And if he didn't even get it with the Raiders, he'd be auditioning for a head coach somewhere else in this league. So a great opportunity for a football coach who I get a chance to watch closely down on the sidelines as he gets into the offensive line and he is engaged with the position that he's coaching. But now he brings a sense of urgency to the Raiders, and he's not here to make friends. He's here to work and earn the respect of everyone in the organization and win games. As he takes over for the Raiders, there's a lot to live up to with the great head coaches of the past who's been in this position before. I think he understands that. Here's Coach Sperano at his initial press conference.
Been part of those turnarounds before. I have the utmost confidence in our players here and our coaches here that we can get this thing turned around. I really do.
Also during that press conference, General Manager Reggie McKenzie addressed the media, and it's been a difficult time for the general manager. He took ownership of some of the problems, especially with the slow start for the Silver and Black.
A lot of it rides on me. I brought Dennis in to win championships here and to win, period. And that did not materialize. And the way the season began through these first four games, we had to make a change. That falls on me.
So both Reggie McKenzie and Tony Sperano know that the Raiders, they're judged by winning games. That's what Mark Davis looks at. The opportunity for this team to win big, and not be embarrassed as they're losing. And the Raiders get an opportunity to turn the season around against the San Diego Chargers. As we get into the Chargers this week, they're playing at a really high level. Phillip Rivers is the number one rated quarterback in the league when it comes to quarterback rating at 116.3. He's already thrown for 1,443 yards, 12 touchdowns, and only two interceptions. And for the Raiders, they're trying to clean up a lot of the problems they're having statistically. When it comes to rushing defense, they're ranked 31st in the league, giving up 158.3 yards per game. That's got to stop. The initial point of attack, the defensive tackles, and the linebackers have to do a better job at tackling, or every team is going to continue to run the ball. Raiders have pretty good stats when it comes to pass defense, but that's because teams continue to run because they haven't been able to slow down rushing attacks after the first four games. And the Raiders on offense are last in the NFL in total yards at 1,080. That's only 270 yards per game, 12.8 points per game. So the Raiders' offense has to get going, but I think it's going to start first and up front with a nasty defense. Getting back to Coach Sperano, Earlier this week, I had an opportunity to talk to Jimmy Cephalo, former wide receiver from the Miami Dolphins. He played in two Super Bowls for the Dolphins, and he is currently the play-by-play voice of Miami. I asked him about Coach Sparano, his days in Miami, and what the Raiders can expect. Jimmy Cephalo, kind enough to join us. What a career he had as a wide receiver, now the voice of the Dolphins, and a great talk show host. I often get a chance to go on his show. Jimmy, thanks for making time for us. How you been?
Oh, great, JT. It's good to talk to you, and good to listen to your show. What a pleasure it is.
You know, what I thought was great on that trip is how the Dolphins and the Raiders brought both their legends, their groups of legends. And I saw Dan Marino there, Greasy was there, Cliff Branch, Fred Biletnikoff. That was fun. And I saw a lot of the Dolphins legends wearing their Dolphin Hall of Fame jackets. I thought that was a nice touch for the organization. It really seemed like the Dolphins embraced that trip to London.
Yeah, we always wear our jackets, our alumni jackets,
yeah,
in the aqua color, and we wear them very proudly. We every Sunday at the stadium, we gather together and watch the game as a group. And you can walk into this suite that we have that's been put together by the Dolphin ownership and see players in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We do events every week, and we spend a lot of time in the community. And so we got a great deal of pride in being a part of the organization. I mean, I can't take as much part in it because I'm in the broadcast booth. But afterwards, we all gather and have a drink together, and we celebrate a victory or we mourn a loss. It's a real great community of former players. And you know what's great about London, JT, was I got to meet some Raider players who I'd long admired. I actually have a picture with Fred Biletnikoff, and if it wasn't for Biletnikoff, I probably would have never played in the NFL. And it was I got to meet some great Raiders, and when I think back of the years that we played against them, that was the best rivalry that I think we had. It wasn't in the AFC East; it was against the Raiders.
Jimmy Cephalo is our guest, voice of the Dolphins. Wanted to ask you a question about Tony Sparano. He now becomes the head coach of the Silver and Black after they go 0-4. You got to know him as he was the head coach of the Dolphins. What does he bring to the table in Oakland?
Well, he prepares as well as anybody ever has. Tony was always at the stadium literally 5-6 hours before kickoff. He would set up an office and sit in there and work and work and work. Nobody's going to work harder than Tony. Knows his football, knows it from the inside out. Remember, in his first year as a Dolphin head coach, the Dolphins beat the Patriots and won the AFC East. That's the last time the Dolphins were in the playoffs. And if not for Tony, I don't think they could have made that turnaround. They had some issues that came up that I don't think were completely Tony's fault. But he's a good football coach, and I think he's got a chance, despite all the problems the Raiders have, to turn it around and maybe show enough to keep that job in the future.
Well, that's the goal of any interim head coach. And with Tony Sparano, even if he doesn't keep the job long-term with the Raiders, and the Raiders hope he does and they turn it around, he gets an opportunity to showcase his talents as a head coach around the league if there's an opening again, correct?
Yeah. There's not a lot of people better than Tony. There really aren't. I mean, you know, he has stewardship under Bill Parcells. He's a tough guy. He works harder than anybody I've ever known. So Tony's got a job to do it right, an opportunity to do it right in Oakland. But that's a tough spot, JT. I mean, you know better than anybody. I mean, they've had years after year after year of poor choices. Now, Derek Carr, I think, has got the potential to be that typical old-fashioned Raider quarterback of the future, big arm, good accuracy, make all the throws. Mack is an outstanding linebacker, another great selection. So did McKenzie make the right choices? Yeah, I think he did this year. He's hit or miss, though, as you go through his draft choices over the past few. But they've got an opportunity here, and I think Tony's got a chance to be able to turn this thing around. But, boy, oh, boy, it's been tough in Oakland for a long time, and the NFL is not as good if the Raiders aren't as good as they used to be. We used to love to hate the Raiders.
Thanks for coming on. I always appreciate how kind you are to me on your show, and I'm happy we're able to do this. All the best.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
We welcome to the official Raider podcast, one of my favorite sports talk hosts in America, and he'll also be on the sidelines for CBS television for this upcoming game on Sunday with Kevin Harlan and former MVP Rich Gannon. Scott Kaplan joins us. And Scott, let's get right into it. As Philip Rivers played last week against the Jets, I couldn't believe his level of play. I don't think he's ever played better. Assess his play.
Yeah, JT, Philip Rivers is playing, and I know it's a vogue thing to kind of just pay attention to all of a sudden, but he's playing better than he ever has because he's added a new element to his game. And if, for a guy who's been in the league as long as he has and has had as much success, you know, he's always been kind of brainy like Peyton Manning, you know, but also gutsy and Southern boy gunslinger type like Brett Favre used to be. And now, for some reason, I don't even know how he did it, he sort of has added this craftiness in the pocket, the ability to move within the pocket and even take off just a little bit, sort of like a Dan Marino used to do. So it's like a whole new element of his game is keeping the plays alive longer, and he's just, the guy's accuracy is just out of this world.
No doubt. He's playing at an MVP level. It'll be a race with him and Peyton Manning and some of the elite players like Aaron Rodgers. Cause for concern with San Diego rushing the football at 25th in the league overall. Is this just something they're not doing, 2.8 yards per attempt, because Rivers is so successful when they're able to go four or five wide?
Well, I would say in being around the Chargers last week when they played and beat up on Jacksonville, they were talking about how committed they were going to be to the run. But at that time, you know, Nick Hardwick's their Pro Bowl center. He's gone for the year. Rich Ornberger is their backup. He's out in that game and in this past game as well against the Jets. And they're on to their third center, a guy named Doug Ligursky, who had about 25 starts or so in his career. He gets hurt in this past game against the Jets, and he goes on injured reserve. So, you know, for me, they've had all kinds of problems along the offensive line, particularly at the center position, but then, you know, they lose their top two running backs. I mean, Danny Woodhead is a very valuable, versatile kind of player. Ryan Matthews is your starter. Donald Brown was brought in this past offseason as kind of an insurance policy. He had a concussion this past weekend. Enter Brandon Oliver, undrafted free agent player from the University of Buffalo, who really had very little chance to make this Charger team and did. And now he's already being compared to Darren Sproles. I would tell you that if he was wearing number 44, it may not be that obvious, but at 43 and short, people think he looks like the new Darren Sproles.
Scott Kaplan joins us. He's on the sidelines for CBS this Sunday in O.co Coliseum. Cap, I look at this team and I just know that they are motivated to win it all. This is a franchise that has not won the Super Bowl. Their rival is the Raiders. It's not Denver. It's not Kansas City. The traditional rival has been Oakland. And Rivers has lost before to the Raiders. But now, as you can see, and you have a radio show in San Diego, the Raiders are struggling. 0-4 start. Dennis Allen relieved of his duties. Tony Sparano takes over. Do you assume that the Raiders will have a new angry edge to them in this game because they haven't? A new head coach?
I would, under normal circumstances, think that the Chargers are coming up to Oakland to do to the Raiders what they did to the Jets this past weekend, 31-0. Rookie quarterback who hasn't won a game yet, a team that seems to be without great direction and leadership, veteran players that were brought in from other teams that have not made the impact that you would think early in the season. And I would normally think that the Chargers are going to go there and just blow them off the field. But yet there's something about having that bye week and changing coaches and you know, maybe you know, everybody just kind of plays their best this first week off the bye and with the new coach. And in a rivalry game within the division when you've got them at home, as much as I want to say I think the Chargers should go up there and win 31-0 like they did against the Jets, I just don't see it happening like that. I think the Raiders, they're still pros. There's still a lot of pride. There's some Super Bowl rings on that team. Sparano has some credentials. I think they'll come out and they'll give it. I think they'll give everything they got.
Well, I've seen Rivers play every game that he's played in Oakland and several in San Diego, and I know one thing, that in the past he's been a little bit immature when the fans get to him or he points to the other sideline. Raider fans are going to be just throwing down on him throughout this game. Has he taken that next level? Scott, he's got several kids. He's mature in the community, but in certain venues, especially Oakland, I don't want to say he has rabbit ears, but he hears the crowd, and the crowd can get on top of you on that other sideline there in the sun. Do you think Rivers just concentrates on the game, or every once in a while he does point to the crowd?
You know, he's just a very emotional player, and but he's also a very smart player. And sometimes in his past, I think you're right, you know, the emotions have gotten the best of Philip Rivers, and at times you know, we've thought to ourselves, well, geez, the other players must be freaking out also, because here's your leader, your captain, your star quarterback, and he's not in control of himself. I would just say this. There's a difference of Philip Rivers this year than in years past, and it's more than just the physical stuff on the field. You know, getting rid of the old general manager and the old head coach, I contend, JT, has really given Philip Rivers a chance to kind of expand his leadership to the organization, to where now he's the quarterback. He is to the Chargers now what, say, a Peyton Manning is to Denver and was to Indianapolis before that, what an Aaron Rodgers is to Green Bay, Drew Brees to New Orleans, Tom Brady to New England, where he has the clout now to walk into the general manager's office. And by the way, he's welcome to lend an opinion. This is now truly his franchise, whereas before, the general manager kind of ruled with an iron fist and liked to play this fear game. And even though he was a star quarterback making millions of dollars, there still was no relationship there. The point is, the culture of the organization has changed, and Rivers has a lot to do with that. And so I think he's growing up a lot, because he's, I guess you'd have to say, he's getting towards the back end of his career.
Scott, finally, as we wrap it up, I want to ask you about the remainder of the schedule. The Chargers are in a run. Jacksonville Jets at home, at Oakland, before Kansas City, then at Denver. That's a Thursday night game, October 23rd. The bye week, I think, comes for a good time for them in week 10, and then the Raiders come to town. There's a game with St. Louis still left there, but at the 49ers, Denver, New England, at Baltimore, there are some tough games on the back end of this schedule. As you'll be calling the game on the sideline, and you know this personnel living in San Diego, do they believe that they have to beat Denver for that division lead and win the division, or is this team built where they can go on the road via the wild card and win and go deep in the playoffs?
Well, you know, last year they beat Denver in Denver on a Thursday night, which was kind of the game that put this coaching staff, you know, Mike McCoy and Tom Telesco, their young kid general manager, and Rivers, you know, remember, he was the comeback player of the year last year. And you know, usually when guys get that award, it's because they were hurt and they made a big physical comeback. Rivers kind of laughed at it and went, what did I come back from? Well, what he'd come back from was 3 years of being out of the playoffs. And what the Chargers did last year is they went to Denver, they won on a Thursday night when Peyton Manning hadn't lost a regular season game in Denver as their starting quarterback. And then the Chargers somehow, miraculously, made it into the playoffs, and they went on the road and they beat Cincinnati, who, prior to last week and losing to New England, a lot of people might have told you was the best team in the AFC. So they are built, I think, to go on the road and win, you know, a wild card type game, because they've proven they can do it. But JT, they've also proven that they can win in Denver. So if you were to somehow sneak away on October 23rd on that Thursday night with a win against the Broncos in Denver, then you've really set yourself up for taking this division and possibly home field throughout. I still contend this to you, that this season between Denver and San Diego will come down to two players. Who's the healthier of the two? For San Diego, it'll be Dwight Freeney. And when you look at Denver, I think it could be a Von Miller. I think whoever's rush linebacker is healthiest at the end of the year has a great chance of winning this division.
Hey, you're going to have a great broadcast with Rich Gannon, and Rich Gannon's been very vocal recently, so take him down to the black hole there in the south end zone and let him interact with some of the great Raider fans there, because they remember Rich winning games in Oakland, and we can't wait for the broadcast. It should be a big game. Cap, thanks for joining us.
JT, I know Rich is really excited. Not that I speak for him, but you know, he's just one of those guys who, he believes in the Raider organization. He's just upset, like I'm sure most people around the Raiders are, about what's gone on here since they went to the Super Bowl.
Talk to you soon. Scott Kaplan. Thank you, Cap.
Thanks, JT. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.